Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Thing I Love Most show with myself, Noel Vauban. Hope you're all doing well. Oh, no, it's very, very chilly week. So I think it's going to get even chillier in Munich. I've been looking at the temperatures, and it's about -5, I think, in the evening. So, damn, it's going to be cold. But we're going to be, obviously, we're going to be very happy to be out there after a nice victory, and the beer jackets will be on, I'm sure. So happy days. So this evening, I am joined by two of the show's favourites, the firm favourites, the first team, the first names on the team sheet, Mr. Lee Curtin and Kofi. How are we doing, guys? You all right? Are you well?
Yeah, not too bad, mate. Not too bad.
So, Kofi, you're actually joining us from Munich. He's actually already out
Good
there.
Good job.
He's very keen, very keen. So we sent him out of there to do some recce's, to find out the best pubs to go to, and yeah, to sort everything out. How's it been going out there, Kof?
Oh, very good, very good. It is pretty chilly, but the beer's good, so we'll be fine.
Happy days. Are people welcoming you with open
arms?
Yeah,
very much so.
Have you been walking around with your Spurs shirt on like you did in Madrid?
I've had my scarf on, which has been fun. I was in a coffee shop across the road this morning and had a bit of banter with the guys in there. I had considered walking into the Bayern Munich shop, but I might have to leave that for another day.
Happy days. Good. All right, well, thanks for joining us. So obviously we need to sort of chronologically go back and look at the past week, which starts us off at Old Trafford. Which was a massive disappointment. It really, really was. After sort of a few decent results, you know, not completely, you know, controlling games, but still looking like we were back to our old self to a certain extent. We went up to Old Trafford and, I mean, we were clamouring for Dier to be dropped. Lee was a little bit more than we should, might be playing at times, but I was saying that he should be dropped. And then he was dropped, and then we looked quite terrible. And so I don't know if it was just Dier. We're not going to say that. But obviously, we've already spoken about quite a few times this season about Serge Aurier and his tracking back and his defensive duties. But I think it was all clear to see that it was probably the most obvious, I think, for fans that might not have recognised it before in terms of how much Sissoko was having to cover the right back position, therefore leaving Winks completely stranded in the middle, and then giving them so much time and space. I mean, if you make Fred look like a good footballer, then you are in trouble, and we really did. And it was so frustrating because they're not a particularly good team. Obviously, they went and got an amazing result against City, who I don't think are playing particularly well, so it's by the by. But they do have good players going forward, but they don't have great defensive players, and they really don't have a great centre midfield. So we should have been really, really in control of that game. And the fact we were so poor was really, really frustrating. And especially because, like I said, I thought the lineup looked okay. I didn't think it was bad, but they just seemed to not put the sort of, I don't even know what it was. They just didn't seem up for it, which you would have surprised because obviously it was Mourinho going back to Old Trafford. You would have thought that he wanted to obviously, you know, get one over his old club, but it just didn't materialise. What was your thoughts on the game, Lee? Was there anything that you can sort of point your finger on, or do you think it was just a sort of a combination of factors?
Yeah, I felt like we just didn't turn up. I felt like we was a bit stage struck. I don't know if that was something from, you know, Mourinho in the dressing room, you know, part of the team talk, maybe kind of really overcompensating the fact that he wanted us to start fast and not lose, and maybe a little bit of a point to prove. But we just struggled from the start. We was just sloppy. We didn't really put any like kind of decent passages of play together. We didn't test their goalkeeper particularly. And when you're struggling, there was that point there for half an hour. I thought, God, we're going to concede 2 or 3 here, even before half time. And when Dele produces that little bit of magic and pulls us back into the game, I thought, brilliant, half time, take a rocket in the dressing room, come out, and actually, I quite fancied us to turn it around. And straight away, you know, as you've already alluded to, Moussa's there covering Serge and stuck his foot out. Do you know what? I still thought it was a little bit harsh. But you're at Old Trafford and, you know, they got great history.
He's going nowhere, isn't he, though? It's that classic clumsy challenge. He's going nowhere. Completely just stupidity. That's all it is. And, you know, we absolutely love Sissoko. And, you know, it's hard to say a bad word about him, but he is clumsy in close contact in that respect. He always gives away free kicks. He's just so strong. He can't help it. You know, when he's touching players, they're going to go down. So you just have to stand back. You have to give space. And especially in the penalty area, I mean, it's just suicide. And you're so right. To get ourselves back in that game, luckily, I completely agree with you. I thought we were well beaten in that first half. So to come back with what a ridiculously sublime goal from Dele Alli, who really, really does seem like he's back to his best. But it just sort of seemed to just nullify all of that. And it just wasted such a good opportunity. And then once we were down in that second half, it just didn't seem to be enough. It just wasn't enough going forward, and it was just very, very frustrating, because like I said, they're not a good team. That's definitely not the best Man U team we're ever going to play. So
absolutely not. We just didn't look sharp enough going forward. So therefore, to get ourselves back in the game at that point, you would have come away from there. You would have taken a 1 point, come away, remain unbeaten in the last few games. Yeah, we would have taken that all day, and you know, go right, okay. Let's wipe our chins with that. Get on with it. It wasn't a good day at the office. Do you know what? Because their strength lies within their forward line as well. When you look at their lineup, it's probably their forwards that are their strongest players as well. And you know what? Yeah, they had lots of the ball and bits of possession and Rashford will shoot on sight, but again, not massive in the second half. There wasn't massive, like, you know. They just didn't. I thought they were happy with the 2-1 as well. You know, once they got their noses in front, they were happy to almost revert back to the old park the bus days a little bit. So they were happy to try and take us on a counter. So yeah, it was disappointing to just so early, straight away at the start of the half. And yeah, it's sometimes those sort of tackles and challenges are quite quite inexcusable. But we've, you know, Moussa's turned the corner, and you know, nobody really wants to get on his back, and I get that. And when you're doubling up on somebody else's workload, I definitely get it.
Yeah, I do agree, but still, it's just about mentality, and it's about, you know, it's just intelligence. It's just like, it's so frustrating to see. So Kofi, this was sort of like Mourinho's chance, obviously, to maybe bed a couple more players in as well, because obviously the longer he goes on in his reign, we're going to hopefully see some slightly different changes. And he does seem to have, like, you know, obviously we're going to go on to the Burnley game later on, but he did blood some new young players in there. With the game in doubt, and when we were 2-1 down, he made the change of bringing Lucas off for Eriksen. And then he brought Winks off, who was struggling. But again, we know why. He wasn't being helped. And he bring on Ndombele. And then he didn't actually bring on Lachelso till the 85th minute. What do you think the reasons are for that? And why does he seem to be choosing Eriksen at the moment, knowing that Eriksen is turning down these multi-£1,000 contracts? And, you know, he's more than likely going to go. Surely this is the opportunity to bring Lachelso into the team, get him some game time, because when he has come on, he's looked great. Is it just a waste to play Eriksen, who doesn't even look like he's particularly interested in the first place? It just seems quite strange to me to, in a game of that size, when you need someone who's going to maintain possession and be a bit creative, we bring on a player who's looking quite flat and all well and truly just a bit disinterested and his head's gone. So what are your thoughts? Because it seems to have been similar with Pochettino as well. So it's just a strange one.
I think it seems strange now. I think in Mourinho's first couple of games, then you would have thought, is he trying him out to see where his head's at? New manager's in town. Will he play for me? Does he want to stay? So that could have been the thought process at the time. However, we've heard that Eriksen is determined that he wants to leave. So for me, he doesn't play. I think if there's no one else to play, there's no alternatives, then maybe. But Lo Celso's there, and Lo Celso looks like a good quality player. He wasn't on for many minutes against United, but he did something that I thought was really interesting. He picked up the ball in midfield, passed it into someone, and then ran into the box. Now, he was available in the box. He was playing forward. He was being very positive. He didn't get the ball, but he was open. And I thought, just in that one little move, you know, he's controlled the ball well, he's passed off well, he's made a good run. You can see that he's dynamic and a positive player. So it's really strange to see that he's not playing. So difficult for me to answer, because I don't know why Lo Celso isn't playing and Eriksen's getting more minutes. I would have, you know, I'd hope that, you know, this week with the Bayern Munich game where we've already qualified, players like Lo Celso, KWP, get a chance and they get on the park and they can show Mourinho what they can do in a game.
Fingers crossed. But it's weird because he does big him up in the press. He said that he rates him, but, you know, proof is in the pudding. Put him on the pitch. Like, he's bringing him on every game with about 10, 15 minutes to go, if that, like 5 minutes to go in this game. It's just frustrating. It's like, what's the point in that? It's just a
waste. I felt the Eriksen substitution was one of, go out there, there's a shop window. If you got a bit of magic in you, now was the time to deliver it. I felt that's what he done. And the fact that I didn't even know Eriksen came on, you know, we looked like we're playing with 10 anyway. So I think he's probably made his bed now, actually. Got to remember, Jose's probably come in there and looked at a whole squad. And he's looked at Toby, or he's met, he says he's spoken with these boys. So he spoke with Toby, he spoke with Jan, he spoke with Eriksen. And he's asked them if they want to stay, or, you know, they've got a fresh start. So we don't know what really went down under Pochettino, if anything went down at all, or they all just down tools. But, you know, the two centre-backs are playing, left-back and centre-back, but they're playing. They look like they're enjoying their football again. And Eriksen's the only one. And I think he's had a couple of sniffs now since Jose's come in, and I'd probably bypass him now, to be honest. I'll take a couple of quid for him in January. I know it's going to be a cut price one, but listen, the show goes on, and that change room needs, you know, needs freshen up as well. So I wouldn't be surprised to see him go at this point.
I agree. I think the mentality could well have been shop window, but people know who Eriksen is by now. You know, over the last 5-6 years, you know, and even before he came to us, people know, you know, he's Denmark captain. I don't think anyone's sort of trying to work out who he is or what he can do. People know his quality. So I don't think he needs to play to, you know, prove who he is.
Exactly.
Or what his work is.
That's my exact point.
And I would agree, take what we can in January. Because the other side of it as well is the salary. Because someone else could be earning that salary, or we could be saving the money. So absolutely.
Well, you're right. Well, maybe Christian Eriksen could earn that salary rather than his brother.
Oh dear. Well, our predictions are out the window because I think we went 3-1. I think I might have gone 1-1 actually. So, you know, if it wasn't for Soko's madness, then we would have been all right. But I think, we went for a little bit of a bigger victory than we had. But yeah, very, very frustrating. But then they did look good against City, you know, so they're a strong team. But it's just one of those frustrating things. And again, it does come down to us away in the big games. The mentality is sometimes missing. It's a confidence thing. It's a nerves thing. It's a slow start. But this has happened, you know, for quite a while now in these big games away from home.
I think there's a couple of other factors involved in the United game. Obviously, Mourinho. And I think it's a very easy team talk before the game for Solskjaer. It's like, look, guys, this guy put you all under the bus. You know, we even saw Luke Shaw make an appearance. You know, if that wasn't trying to rub someone's nose in it. And you know, we now are a team that people want to beat. You know, gone are the days when it was easy to beat us. We're a big game. You know, United didn't want to lose to us. But, you know, the whole dynamic of Solskjaer and Mourinho and where we are in the league, where they are in the league, they were up for it. And we've got to realise that other teams will be up for it against us. You know, we can't wait 20 minutes to get started in a game.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. I totally agree. So just a quick announcement. We had the final part of our Clive Allen interview now on YouTube. So please do check it out. It's really interesting. And he was a real gem to have on. And hopefully it's going to be the first of many. So please do check it out and share it with your friends. So the book's called Upfront. It's his autobiography. He talks about his whole career. And he was really, really chatty, really, really nice. It's in three parts, and it's available on our YouTube channel right now. So enough about the sadness and the frustration and the disappointment about last week. Let's remember Saturday. Let's remember the good times, because it did feel like it was... the old White Hart Lane. That's the only way I could describe it. It felt like that season, the last season of White Hart Lane, where we were like dominating teams, like literally bussing them up. And like, it was great. It was just, it felt so good. It felt so good. I can't describe it. And, you know, and the goals as well. Like, obviously, you know, Son's goal would just go down in all of our memories. Anyone that was there was just... you know, just in awe of what he did. And he's just an absolute legend. And for me, I think he's the most valuable player in the team at the moment. I think he's the one, you know, he's the first name on my team sheet anyway. So I think he just proved that again. Good to see Kane back in the goals and some quality strikes as well. It was good. Ali, frustrating, got two assists. But, I mean, there were some chances in that first half and it was just like, what are you doing? Like, oh my word, that one when he was one-on-one, it was like, how long do you think you're going to have in a Premier League match? He literally flipping got out of his wrist and started rolling a spliff. I was like, boy, there's a defender coming to us. Like, what are you doing? But you can actually see that just before he hits the ball, he's actually about to hit it to Son. So he wasn't trying to shoot. He was trying to flick it. But it was just like, what have you been bunning? Because it was like, it was ridiculous. He took so long. And well, for him to not expect the player to come, I was just like, oh, well, man.
They were talking about it on Sky Sports this morning. And he actually kicked it off. So he was actually brought down. They said that could have been a penalty. They said they can't believe that actually nobody even turned and appealed for it.
But I thought he flicked it against the defender's foot.
No, he kicked it straight off, and the defender just cleared his foot out straight, like at a very similar time. Defender didn't touch the ball at all.
But the ball didn't go to Son, though.
Hey, I don't think I disagree with that. I don't think he was trying to pass it to Son at all. I think he was trying to poke it in the corner.
Oh, that side angle. Oh, I'm going to look at it again. But the side angle, I thought you could saw that his foot did flick it, and then the defender comes in. But I will check it out.
I've never seen Son angry, but he was definitely fuming,
but you know, he got his rewards. But it was a good game. So obviously we saw the return of Dier, and then Sissoko in the centre, which I think is obviously, is solid. It does give Sissoko a little bit more freedom because he's not totally the defensive one. And obviously he also got his goal. Amazing. Scores when he wants. Legend. Almost got one in the first half as well. I was like, what is going on? Who is this player? I almost put him in my fantasy league team. He's only 4.9 million. I was like, you know, under Mourinho, he's a goal-scoring machine. So maybe for 4.9 million, and then I couldn't afford him. So I had to put in Cantor on. Obviously, Dier was there. Sissoko a bit more freedom. Brought Moura in. So it was a decent-looking team, I thought. It was probably the team I would have played, because I think Winks... I don't know. It's just, I struggle with Winks sometimes in this new format. I don't know. He just doesn't seem to have been the player that he was. And I don't know if it's the games like Man United when we don't have much of the ball, or if it's better with these kind of games. Maybe he would have been good, because I don't think there was much need for Dier. And again, he did give away some clumsy balls once again. Yes, he came in with a few sliding tackles. You know, he's going to do that, but... He also, you know, there was one of the best Burnley chances in the first half was because he got caught on the ball in the middle of the park. And it was like, that's just, it's just dire, basically. And it was frustrating. I found his performance frustrating. But, you know, I think maybe he's just allowing our attackers to be a little bit more free. That's the only way I can sort of describe it, in terms of, because they do believe that he offers that defensive solidity, that they are going a little bit more further forward and attacking a little bit more en masse. Because Aurier is basically playing right wing. I know that we'd talk about him tracking back, but that's actually what is happening, because Sissoko sometimes cutting in. But also what's happening is that Yan is, they're becoming a three quite quickly, it seems. When people are pushing forward, Yan steps in, and that seems to be what happened. And sometimes even Dyer was stepping back. But I was surprised at how often that seemed to happen. And also Yan was even coming into centre midfield sometimes to sort of like fill in the void if Sissoko was covering right back. So it does all seem to be something that's been thought out. I don't think it's literally like, oh, Aurier's gone missing, what should we do? It is almost a plan, yeah. Which is surprising, because it doesn't look like it is, but it's weird. But when you did analyse it and you did look to see where Jan's positioning is, he came in so much. And then, as I said, if Sissoko did drop back, he would also move forward. So is that a tactical masterstroke from Jose Lee?
Yeah, well, you got to say it is, but it's just that when we are losing the ball, if he's that far up, you know, we're on about trying to move. We're starting with a four at the back that quickly becomes a three, and then two in the middle that quickly become, you know, you got the two and the three, and then the one up top. So Harry stays up top, but then that three actually behind him actually becomes a four, with then Aurier going in and trying to swing crosses in. So Lucas would come inside. So you're actually talking about somebody trying to cross the ball into maybe three to four players, which we haven't really had for a little while. And I know it sounds bizarre, because I watch a lot of teams, even just like Match of the Day, and when people are crossing in the ball, there's like three or four players going in for crosses. And sometimes we got Harry missing it and Sonny coming in at the back post a bit late. And that's all that's our lot. You know, so for a long periods of times, especially towards the end with Poch, we only had two players really attacking the ball, and we're wondering why Dele can't get involved. So he's obviously made his mind up the way we're going to go about our business, and it is almost with a front four, and the fullback getting on to make another line of three behind them. So it's clever. The problem is, when you come up against better teams, and Aurier doesn't look particularly, he looks like he gets half of it. So he looks like he gets the attacking part. He just doesn't get the bit where he's got to get back. And that's a bit of a problem for me. And that's why I will unashamedly call for Walker Peters. Because I think people get excited with the fact that Aurier scored a goal and had one disallowed against Leicester. I'm fully aware that he can hit a ball. I'm fully aware that he has great technique striking a ball. However, his crosses are not as great as everybody seems to think they are. And I think Walker Peters actually crosses the ball just as well as him. And he will get back, and he will be hungrier to learn. So I'll continue to support that formation. But, you know, when we're talking about trying players out and other players, I'd like to see Walker Peters in there, in that surge position, because I think he'll do it quite well. Jan doesn't particularly cross a great ball on the left. Rose is, you know, you probably struggle to cross the road, and you get why we're going to go down the right hand side to put the crosses in and not the left hand side. But then we've also got to be very mindful, that's what everybody's recognised about us, because Burnley had a couple of decent chances and every one of them came down that side of the pitch because Aurier had gone walkabouts every attack. So we need to be mindful of that, because when you've got better opposition, that will get exposed if we ain't got intelligent and fit enough players.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Kofi, when it comes to Son's goal, is that the best one you've ever seen live? Is it up there? What else have you seen? Talk to me, because, I mean, I'm still, I keep on watching it. They had a thing today on Facebook where they played it in different angles, and it's just... I'm just buzzing, man. Still buzzing.
It was incredible. And I think one thing you've got to remember is, you know, you're talking about Fantasy League earlier. If anyone's got Vertonghen in their team, then what an assist. It was a quality assist there. But no, it was a fantastic goal. And it's one of those where you can see it opening up for him and you're almost in disbelief. You know, he's crossing the halfway line. You're thinking, can he make it? But I saw a similar goal from Son. As you know, I live up in Scouseland. When we had Tranmere in the FA Cup last year, he did the same thing. Now, absolutely, it's Tranmere Rovers, so a different quality of players, but he's absolutely got it in him, you know. And the Chelsea goal, the goal against Chelsea that he scored the other season, goal he scored against Germany in the World Cup, you know, it's in his locker. He loves taking people on, and I tell you, I still can't tell you whether he's left or right for it. You know, he can go either way on people. I don't know if I've seen a better goal from Son, but I've seen the ability, and you can see that he'll do it. Amazing, just incredible.
It was. I like watching the replay as well, because it's his face. He's like a sprinter sometimes, but sometimes sprinters even more relaxed there. But he's literally like, he's just at the point of like stretching because he's sprinting, but he's concentrating and he's stretching. It's just, it's crazy. And then to have that composure at the end, you know, if Ali had got in that position, it would have gone straight at the keeper. There's no way, or the guy would have cut it. There's just no way. And actually, to be fair, Ali had, you know, not got the legs to get there in the first place, but still it was just, oh man. Absolutely killed me. Sanchez had a bit of a better game. I suppose, obviously, you know, he seemed to have less time on, less on the ball. He was less on the ball in comparison to the Olympiacos games, and obviously he had less to deal with than he did in the Man United game, which we actually didn't even really speak about, which was that first half error for him from him, which led to the Rashford goal. I mean, let's just move back quickly to that Man United game. So the keeper or Sanchez, who do you think was most to blame for that goal, Lee? Combination of both.
You probably got to hand it to both there. Sanchez struggles. His passing, his decision making, and his positional play is not at the level it needs to be. And Gaz has got to cover that. He's got to cover that near post.
It's really, he stretched his arm out, but yeah, he didn't really. It's not. It's just really weird. He stretched his arm out, but he stretched his arm out too far. So it's like the ball just went in off his like forearm.
Elbow.
It's like, why just pull your arm in? It was like, that was really strange. But I mean, obviously that was a slow motion. So it was just, yeah, that was frustrating. But then he did pull off a few blinders. And like you said, we should have been more than one goal down at half time. And it was definitely down to him to thank for that. One other thing I'd like to pick up on the Burnley game was Kane's dropping deep as well, which I suppose is another thing that Mourinho has introduced and seems to be working quite well with the fact that we do have a front four, is that when he does pull deep, then obviously we still have Son, Ali and Moura running ahead of him. And that's quite key because he can pull out some really... He's probably the best passer in that position that we do have in the team now in terms of picking that pass out to Aurier in between the defenders, like through the lines, or maybe just a little... It's just he probably is the best at doing that. When Ali seems to be in those positions, he very much lays it off, and it's only really if he has space and time, Ali's a bit more creative. If Ali has got players in front of him, he always lays it off. He doesn't seem to be that creative, but Kane just doesn't ramp. He's like, I'm going for this. I'm going to do something, basically. I'm going to make it happen, which is great to see. And he could, if we do ever sign a really, really good striker, number nine, then he could play deeper. I've always said that we could play with a two. So we'll see. So as we mentioned earlier, Kofi is already in München. He is chilling in Munich. So we're going to be leaving, I think, early morning on Wednesday. We fly. Really excited to go. This is one of the ones that I think over the past few years that we wanted. And we've kept on getting Juve, we kept on getting Dortmund, we kept on getting Real Madrid. We got Barcelona last year. That was great. One to tick off. And this is another one to tick off. The fact it's dead rubber, I think, is probably nicer, and the fact that it's going to make it, you know, a nice evening, no matter what. We're not going to go there and get rinsed and, you know, it's going to be horrible. It would have been nice to go there to have to actually battle and really go for it. But I think it's going to be good for the young players. And we spoke about Kyle Walker-Peters earlier on. From the sounds of it, he's going to play. And Parrott also is going to hopefully get some minutes. And setting on as well. He brought Skip on, obviously, on Saturday as well, which was nice to see. So I really like Skip, actually. I was talking about my friends. I think he's good. I think he's going to be, he might be forcing his way into the team in a year or so. If he gets a bit stronger, I've seen some footage of him, and he's quite a baller, much more than Dyer. So who knows? So what kind of a team are you expecting we're going to play? Do you think Kane is even going to go? Is there talk of him not going at all? What's the crack? Because he is the club captain at the moment, technically, obviously, because Luis is injured. So, Kofi, have you heard word from the street? Have you been speaking to any Spurs fans out there or Munich fans? Give us the gossip. Give us an exclusive Munich report. That's you, Kofi. Well, you're in Munich.
There's lots of conversation out here about what Munich teams can play. You know, they're still, you know, pushing to fight hard in the Bundesliga. So it may be two teams of youth, two teams of a few Mr. players. I think it's great that, once again, we are at the level. You know, we're not at the level where we've got 1 point from three games and we've got to go to Barcelona and get a result. It feels nice just to go and watch a game and relax. You know, it doesn't happen often for us. And it'll be great, you know, whoever plays on either side, it'll be great for our players to have that world-class competition. You know, if KWP plays, if Parrott plays, if Lo Celso plays, they're going to be playing against players that are top calibre. So it's going to be, you know, a great game always round. You know, it's a classic club, a classic stadium, great players. So I think always round, it's good. You know, we're in the mix with teams like Bayern Munich. So yeah, fantastic.
Are you looking forward to the game, Lee? You think it's going to be a cracker? I think there's definitely going to be goals.
Well, we're playing, so you can guarantee there's going to be goals, mate. Yeah, I think it'll be a good one, and I think they'll all travel. I think Kane will travel, and I think Sonny will travel. I think they'll all travel. I think he'll start with the youngsters, and they're kind of all in, except for kind of Walker-Peters. If we're talking about maybe Sessegnon and Parrott, Walker-Peters might be an exception. They're all kind of further up the pitch, aren't they? So I think you'll see all of them start with a kind of a mature or more experienced backline behind them, just to give us a foothold in the game, really. And let's face it, we can't do any worse than we did at home. So, you know, I think it'd be quite good. It kind of maybe a little bit of a flashback to the Audi Cup, just before the season kicked off, that competition that we won. So, just chucking it out there.
What a trophy.
It's amazing. It's pride of place in the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. I think there's a few opportunities there for some of the youngsters, and we've got nothing to lose, really, in terms of who they are. I do sometimes just feel sorry. I'm glad there's nothing at stake in this game as such, because I feel it's always these sort of games in the past where, like, Walker-Peters has just been chucked in. And then he gets absolutely, you know, if it doesn't go our way, he's hung out, well, under Poch, he's kind of hung out to dry a little bit. You wouldn't see him again until there's another SOS. It's nice that, you know, they get a chance. There's not much at stake, but there's a lot at stake for them as individuals.
Yeah, so I think that's the case. Okay, so predictions. What are we going for, Kofi? What are you thinking? What's the score going to be?
It's a tough one to predict. First off, you've got to predict who's going to play. I think it'll be a good game. I think both teams have got goals in them. So I'm looking at 2-2.
2-2. Okay. All right. Nice one. What about you, Lee?
I'm all over that. I'm all over a 2-2.
Wow. Desmond. Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. I'm going to... Oh, man. I can't say 2-2 as well. That's ridiculous. I'm going to go 1-1. I think it... Do you know what? It's minus five, man. Like, that's...
Ross, that should be enough for everybody to move around.
Listen. Oh, I'm not looking forward to that. I'm not looking forward to that. And I know I'm living in the 90s again, but it's going to be Blizz. It is going to be Blizz. I swear. I'm not ready for that, man. Oh, man. Okay, well, we'll see how we go. I'm going to go for 1-1. Yeah, I think 1-1 and Kyle Walker-Peters with an assist and Troy Parrott with a goal. What? Yes, with that prediction. So we have one more game to preview this week, and that is the Wolves game. We're off to the game as well, myself and Lee. And so looking forward to that. Once again, if you are going to be in Munich or Wolves and you want to come and say hello, then we will be posting videos and letting you know where we're going to be throughout the day and evening in Munich. And obviously Wolves, yeah, come over and say hello. If you want to meet us, have a beer, have a chat. And obviously, we do like people coming on the show as well. As last time, we met Kofi in Ajax, and now he's on the show loads. So, you know, it's all good. We are very welcoming on the Thing I Love Most show. So, yeah, if you are up for getting involved, if you have an opinion, if you sometimes listen to Lee and think, what an absolute legend, or if you think he's talking absolute rubbish, then, you know, welcome to the club. It's good to have you on. So, yeah, let us know. And always nice to meet some listeners to the show. So Wolves is going to be a tough game. Obviously, they are a good team. They're decent at home, but they're also looking not the best defensively at the moment. They seem to be missing Bowley at the back. So I think are we going to turn them over? Are we going to have another 3-2 craziness like we had last year with Foyt coming in and giving away a couple of pens? What kind of game are we expecting, Lee? Because obviously he's probably going to rest players in the week in terms of putting the young people in. So I think it'd be good to maybe, you know, have some more experienced players back in. So therefore, they might be a little bit fresh. Wolves have obviously got their Europa League tie on the Thursday as well, so they'll be less fresh. I'm not sure where that tie is or if they even need to win that game, but hopefully it will be important. I think they have qualified now, though. But what are you thinking? What kind of game are you expecting?
I think it'll be action-packed. I think it's going to be close. I think we're going to go there and have a go at them. And, you look back at Wednesday's... We'll look back at Wednesday's game and think the fact that we've already qualified and we might be able to give Sonny, Deli, and maybe Harry, you know, less minutes and give them a rest. We'll play in our favour. I mean, they play decent football as well. Got to hand it to them. They do have a go. So I think it'd be an action-packed game. And it's actually quite a big match when you look at the table. You know, they're there just right above us. So. I think it is. It's come at a good time for us as well, because, like you say, they're conceding goals and they're not as fluid as they were or have been. And we just bar the Man United hiccup, you know, we're finding a new way to play and doing it particularly well. So, yeah, I fancy us to nick it on the day and go carry on our pursuit for the top four.
Just Traore, worry you, Kofi? On the right wing, going up against potentially Vertonghen, who is not known for his pace. Surely that's a bit of a mismatch.
I think it's been really interesting seeing Vertonghen in the position that he's been in, because he's been ordering people around and pointing and commanding, as well as playing great football. So I think even though he hasn't quite got the pace, his positional sense and also pulling other people in and making sure they're in the right position is spot on. So I'm not so concerned with that. I think Tottenham have to think more so about, okay, what are we going to do to other teams? Wolves don't want to play us right now. You know, as you said, they're a little bit up and down. They can be got at. It will, as Lee says, be action-packed. But I think we have to take the game to them.
Okay. I agree with that. Okay, so what are we going to go for predictions then, guys? What are we thinking for the Wolves game? I am going to go with my Tourette's prediction of 2-1.
To be fair, that would have been my shout. That'd be my shout.
I'm feeling the 2-1 as well.
Oh, boring. Come on, guys.
I'll tuck a third in there then. I'm all right with that. I'm all right with
that. Always run for one more. Okay. All right. Fair enough. Happy days. Great stuff. Well, I look forward to that. And obviously, we're looking forward to a great week out in Munich. So if you're already there with Kofi, then let him know on the Thing I Love Most show, Facebook page, Instagram, YouTube, and we're out on all the social medias, Twitter as well, TTRLM show. If you want to meet up with Kofi in the next couple of days, the rest of the crew are going to be there from Wednesday morning, actually some on Tuesday evening as well. So yeah, it's going to be a great few days. If you are going out there, please do stay safe and please do wrap up warm, because it looks like it's going to be very, very cold indeed. And then if you, like I said, go into the Wolves game on Sunday, we might be able to see you there as well. So thank you very much once again, gentlemen, for your company. Thank you all the way from München, Dankeschön to Kofi, and thank you to Lee as well. Great to have you on once again. We just wish everyone the best of luck this week. It's going to be really, really good fun. And do stay safe. And once again, come on, you Spurs.